Well, we'll take us our text this morning that I'm sure obvious to us, the first verse of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm sure, friends, in a day such as this, that a suitable text is always what we look for, and I'm sure that this is a text that many of you will have had in your own thoughts and in your minds, and I know that others may well have had likewise in different places. And I do think that it is a sentiment, is it not, that belongs to us today, whoever we are and whatever we are, glad to go to God's house. Now, last week we considered, if you may remember, the term means of grace. And we saw how that applied through the word, the sacrament, and prayer. And while we saw that the word means of grace is not a biblical term in that it's not found in the Bible, nevertheless, it is a very good description of what we do. When we come together to worship God, that we use means, the means of, as I said, of word, of the sacrament, and of prayer. Now, here we see David with joy that he looked to go up to the house of God, to the means of grace for himself. And he was obviously going up not to the temple, because the temple wasn't built at this time. It would be to the tabernacle. And yet it was as precious to him as any great temple that was built later on was precious to God's people. It wasn't so much about the building, but it was about what was promised to him and to all God's people coming together to meet with the Lord, the place where the Lord himself had promised to be, where the Lord's presence was especially known. It wasn't either that God's presence couldn't be known elsewhere, and I think we ourselves in the last few weeks and months, that even through the Zoom setup that we had, we were thankful, were we not, to the Lord, thankful that the means were there, and that we maybe from time to time that we knew something of the Lord's presence and the Lord's blessing even through these means. But there's something, friends, about coming together to God's house. And so today we are thankful that this is where we are found, while there are some, of course, who cannot for good and lawful reason be with us yet. But we pray that the day will come when they also, some of them at least, will be able to join with us. But together, nevertheless, whatever we are today, we pray that we would be united in our desire to worship the Lord. And so they were coming, and David came. You remember the Ark of the Covenant, that the Ark had been carried about for many, many years. And here it was now where it was, and it was symbolic of the presence of the Lord amongst them. And so it was where public worship was kept, where God himself had especially been seen and known. You remember also that there was the Shekinah glory that was over the temple at this time, over the tabernacle also at this time as well. And that's what made the place special. It was what made Jerusalem particularly special. We read here that Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. That word testimony is the whole idea of the ark that is there, unto the testimony of the ark of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. So then, gathering together as we are here today, while good to be together once again, it's not, of course, as we mentioned last week, it's not the main reason for our coming here today. Our main reason is not just to gather, it is to worship God. And our gatherings, it should not be either about, if you like, who's preaching. It is not about who we like to hear. It's about worshiping God. That first and foremost must be before us. And we mustn't lose sight of that, friends, at any time. The story told about a French king at one time who started attending the means of grace. And once he started attending, many other people also came along, and from Sabbath to Sabbath. And then one day, seemingly, the king came along, and there was hardly anybody at all in church. And when the service finished, he asked the minister, "What happened? Where's everybody today?" The minister said, "Well, I just told everybody that you wouldn't be here this week." And so it shows who they came to worship. It shows why they came to God's house. And friends, it's important for us then to remember what we are here for. It is to worship God. But it is a public means that is given to us and given to us for a particular purpose by God himself. And so, looking today at public worship, the first thing, as we have said in our introduction, the first thing and the foremost thing then in the public worship is with a view to honor and to exalt the name of the Lord, with a view to worship God. That is our main reason for coming together. Now, no doubt, people on many occasions, even in David's day here and before, would not be able to get to the tabernacle to worship. Now, that didn't mean to say that they didn't honor God wherever they were. Just as people today cannot come here, not saying they're not honoring God. But they knew, nevertheless, that it was their duty, if at all possible, to be in God's house. It was their duty and their privilege, whenever they could, to be specifically at the means of grace, to be specifically in God's house, where people gathered together, and especially because they knew that the ark was there. It was where the presence of the Lord was particularly known at this time. And so, with God's particular presence there, the Shekinah glory over the tabernacle, this is where their heart's desire was. And the psalmist here, his heart's desire was to go to the house of the Lord. Now, for ourselves, how does that apply in our own day and generation? How does that apply to you and I here this morning? Well, we know, of course, if we move out from the Old Testament to the New, although it is the one in many ways, nevertheless, there is a different forum of the worship. But God is in the center, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament, and we are to come together to worship in particular way. We have the Lord's Day for that particularly, the gathering of the Lord's people. It has ever been so. And the Testament, New Testament makes clear, Scripture makes clear to us that we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And sadly, there are many today who could be in God's house, not just here but elsewhere. We said earlier, of course, people who cannot, everybody knows that. But there are many who still, not just during the COVID, but before and probably after, people who will not come when they could come to God's house. And the Christian, particularly, and those who have an interest in the things of God, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Often we read of the Lord Jesus. Where was he found so often on the Sabbath days? He was found in the temple. He was there when he could be, and others likewise. Remember the promise that we have in Scripture, where the two or three are gathered together, from the Lord Jesus himself, these words. For the two or three are gathered together in his name, there I am in the midst. There is the promise. And it's for the gathering together in his name. Of course, by the way, this again would be going against the Jewish thing at that time, because for the Jews, you see, a tabernacle was only could be set up anywhere, or a place of worship, a synagogue could be set up anywhere, was only there had to be 10 Jews to form, as it were, a church or a synagogue. But he's saying here, well, the two or three are gathered together. It's not about the number of people, it's about the presence of the Lord. That's what's important. And dear friends, for ourselves today, I rejoice that so many of you coming here today. Rejoice that all are gathered together. But this is what we need. This is the promise that we are looking for. Whether two or three are gathered, whether at home. And that can happen as well, friends. Where we can know the Lord's blessing even at home, as we often do. Maybe as some of us even enjoy that today. But it is obvious here that this text here, and the text where the Lord is speaking about two or three gathering together in this name, it is to do with the coming together in public worship. And coming together in public worship to honor and to glorify God in a particular way. And the Lord, friends, is here in the public worship. He has promised to be here. And we should expect to know the Lord's presence here. And the Lord is always present to accept our worship when we come together. Now, does that mean that every gathering in His name can expect to be blessed by the blessing of the presence of the Spirit of God? Does it mean that, well, we are coming together, and so there's a crowd of us coming together, so, well, God must bless us? Well, you know the answer to that, of course. First of all, we should come to worship, I would suggest to you, with a prayerful expectation to meet with the Lord Himself, with a prayerful expectation that He will be true to His word, to meet with the Lord in His word, and especially as it is preached. And when we come together, friends, we get and we give in our worship. We receive and we render in our worship. And the two go together. But there has to be, first of all, giving to God, and we receive back from Him. And we honor Him in this, in a particular way. And so we pray that the Lord, when we come together, that the Lord in His grace and the Lord in His mercy, that He would condescend to receive our praise and adoration. Isn't that your own desire today? To know His presence. Oh, friends, there's nothing like it, is there? And the person who knows something of the presence of the Lord Jesus with them. Ah, how sweet it is. And what does it do? It stirs up a longing for you to know it again. Do you ever get too much of it? Ah, never. You long for it more and more and more. And so to know His presence is not just about appearing in His house. And it was far more than that for David as well. And it's not just then about appearing in His house, more than that, friends. So how did you come today? How did you come to God's house this morning? What was your desire in coming here? Oh, I'm sure to meet with people where you haven't seen for a while and pray that even at a distance we can speak to each other afterwards or whatever. That is good. But has it really been all that the Lord will be there? That I would meet with God in the worship itself. Have you said in your heart, I joyed when to the house of God go up and said to me? Have you joyed coming here this morning to God's house to meet with the Lord in His word? You see, what we need to do then is to come with expectation, and is the only way to expect the least blessing is to come with expectation. Let us, on the soles of our knees before our Lord, our Maker, fall down and worship Him in our time together here. Oh, not for David. I'm fine where I am. I can worship in my palace. I can worship in my tent, which he did. Of course he did. I can get close to the Lord where I am. Of course you can. But his desire is to be here in the place set aside for worship, with those who are of a like mind coming together to worship the Lord. And wherever we are today, that should be our great desire. And friend, if you and I have come today in the right spirit to the house of God, we can expect that the Lord will be true to his promise. And like David then, if we come with joy, we should meet with him. If we come to honor him, that that be our chief end, and to worship him. So that, friends, is the first thing in public worship that we would be seeking to do. But then secondly, the second thing that flows on from that is, it is public worship is for our spiritual refreshment and edification. For our spiritual refreshment and edification. Of course, that will be there. And if we are the first in the right place, worshipping God first and foremost, that will flow from it. And we will benefit from it. Notice here what he says that, I was glad when they said unto me, when they said unto me, let us go, the they and the us in the text. And you see, the suggestion is very clear here. You see, a holy company, come with us and we will do thee good. That's the idea. Let us go to God's house. A holy company here, friends, coming together with those of a like mind. Ah, David, I was so glad when they reminded me, if you like, and let us go once again. It is an opportunity once again to come together to God's house. Let us go, friends, up the hill. Let us go up the hill to the place of worship. You see, that is the desire to glorify God. This thought of going up and the tabernacle set there on the hill for them all would be there to see. It is this whole thought of going up to Jerusalem, as it were. I remember, and some of you will have been and know something of this as well. One of the times in our trip, it's one of the trips to Israel, and the just driving up in our coach the first time when we see Jerusalem in the distance, and somebody started singing this very psalm in the bus, and the tears rolled with so many. The thought of going up to Jerusalem, that whole picture, not the place itself, there's nothing in that in and of itself, but the picture you have of that, and the worship of God, going up to his house, going up to the place where he has promised to be. Oh, friends, where else will we get spiritual refreshment and nourishment and edification for our souls? But to meet with the Lord. And that will flow from having the first thing right for us. That will have us united in joy and peace and fellowship and communion with our fellow believers. And has there ever been, maybe in your own Christian experiences, in mine, ever a time when we have, you know, have needed this more than we do now, to come together? One of these horrible things that's happened is a separation. It's not natural. Not natural. We are made to be together, and especially together to worship the Lord. Have you missed it? I'm sure you have. Maybe today you're looking around and seeing those, oh, I haven't seen for months. The joy in your heart to meet with a brother and sister in Christ once again. To love it. To be uplifted by it. To be refreshed by it. Yes, even to be edified by these things. And here then, this coming together, this is a spiritual house. It's not just a building, of course. The church is, well, the church is the people of God coming together particularly. But Christ is the foundation. The people are the living stones and knit together, built on that rock, united in Christ. John Gill, the commentator, put it this way. Speaking about the church, he said, the materials are lively or living stones. Its foundation is Christ. The pillars are the ministers of the word. The beams, the roof beams keeping it together, are the stable believers. Its windows are the ordinances and its door into it, faith in Christ. Beautiful thought in it all. I can repeat that. Materials are the lively stones. Its foundation is Christ. Its pillars are the ministers of the word. Its beams are the stable believers. And its windows, the ordinances, and the door into it, faith in Christ. A beautiful picture of the church, where you get spiritually refreshed and edified. Friends, then, let us stir each other up to worship. Let us stir each other up, exhort each other up. Let us do this for one another, to edify one another with good holy listening and good holy conversation afterwards, with discussion of what we hear, not just today but every time, discussion of what we hear, fellowship together, things that we read, our experiences. These are all centered upon what we do in the worship of God, how we will benefit from it. And that's how we grow, isn't it? We are told Scripture speaks about growing, yes, initially through the milk of the word, but friends, we mature with strong meat. And strong meat is the desire of those who have an appetite. And you get your appetite whetted in the means of grace, and you come together and edify one another, encourage one another particularly. So friends, such gatherings should be seen by us in many ways as it were the antechamber of heaven itself, a taste of heaven, a taste of the glory that awaits. Friends, yes, we should say it and we should shout it. I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. Is that how you've come today yourself then? The place where you expect to meet with himself, the place where you expect to be fed, where iron sharpeneth iron. And apart from that, what better company than those who are on the way to heaven with you? What better company than those who also join the Lord just as you do? You know, you remember how the disciples there and they said, did not our hearts burn within us when they had met with Christ and thought about him? And I dare say, friends, that is still the experience of the people of God when they meet with himself. And dare I say also sometimes when you meet with the Lord's people, when you have Christ and you meet with Christ in them and see Christ in them. There is edification, there is refreshment in that, in a particular way for the Lord's people. You know, sometimes, well, I said earlier, and it's true, we've got to be careful, I think, just because we're here today, that's all that matters within the building. Of course it isn't. But sometimes, we have to admit that just being in God's house can be such a blessing itself. To know where you are. Now, of course, you need spiritual eyes to see beyond, as it were, the structure. And I'm not saying we mustn't make a pillow of that for ourselves in any way whatsoever. But can't you say, as another said, to whom else can we go? Or if I can paraphrase with respect it, change it, to where else would I want to go? But to be where the Lord will be and where he has promised to be with the Lord's people. I was reading about an old Christian lady who had got deaf, and she couldn't hear a single thing, but she kept going to church. And she was asked, why are you going? You cannot hear a thing. Why don't you just stay at home and read your Bible at home? Oh, she said, no, I can't hear a thing. But I know my company in God's house. And I believe in the promise, where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. That's why I go. Although I can't hear a word, I am with those who are the Lord's people. Friends, it is for our spiritual edification and for our refreshment of soul. And finally, thirdly and finally, public worship also is important for this, as an example and a witness to the world. An example and a witness to the world. And dear friends, if there ever was a day where there's a need for that, is it not today? All the need to be lights in the dark world that we live in. Where everyone is looking for answers to the problems anywhere except turning to the Lord. The responsibility, friends, particularly now if we are beginning to come out of this, the responsibility that falls upon you and I to be witnesses for the Lord, to show where our faith and trust is, the answer to every problem. There's so little of godliness around us in the society we live in. You know, friends, I wonder, truly of yourselves, if the lockdown continued exactly like we weren't able to meet for a year, there were no church gatherings for a year, wonder what would have happened to the cause of Christ amongst us. Oh, yes, of course. God has his own, and the Lord will have his own. Of course he will. But make no mistake, friends. The government, and this is not political, any government, it seems to me today, they would be more than happy if the churches never opened again. That's the reality. That is why there is so little place given, where anything and everything opens first. Gatherings can be of any kind. But the church. That's why, friends, we have to be bright lights and a witness. And more than ever before, maybe, that we have to be a witness. The Sabbath day, a witness for that. Church has been open for worship. I believe, friends, is essential in our day. It is a witness to the world that we are who we are. It's a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this is what's important, to witness as well. To show the world that there are still, as well as we read elsewhere, there were 7,000 who have not yet as bowed the knee to Baal. To show the world that we may be small, we may be a remnant, but we are still here trusting in the Lord. We are still here seeking to uphold his name and his cause. And then, friends, let us say together with David, let us go to God's house. Let us go with joy to God's house, as others said to him. And that's, again, surely what a wonderful opportunity we have also at this time to witness to others, to invite them to come to God's house. Why did you come? Why did you now start afresh? To start inviting people to come. Why? To be a witness. To seek to show forth that who knows, but the Lord can bless that to us. So the importance then, friends, I would suggest to you of public worship as a means, a witness to the world that we live in. It can also, of course, on a personal level, be a witness to the reality of your own personal faith. It is a personal thing. Oh, it's a means of sanctification by the Spirit. It's a strengthening as well. But it's only, how can you witness to others except you are strengthened yourself? And how can you witness to others except you know what you believe yourself? But knowing what you believe, show it to others, speak to others. And how you and I can fail and have failed in this far too often to be a witness to the world. You see, you sense here, do you not, that with David, there's more, there's far more than duty in this going about. Duty is important, and duty is good, but there's more than just Goy because the doors were open, as it were. There was more than just Goy because it was where people usually met. There was going here surely with a desire, a longing, a deep desire, a joy. Can I say, dear friend, oh, I hope and pray that's how you came today, to meet with himself in his word particularly. And by coming to the house of God today, and I have no doubt whatsoever, as had happened before, people will be taking note of so many cars on the pavement and the car park and all the rest of it. But it's a witness, friends. It's a witness to the world. A witness. And by coming here, we show that we have been with Jesus, that we have met with the Lord. And dear friends, that our friends and our neighbors and our workmates that we meet maybe tomorrow would take knowledge of us, and we would tell them, God's house is open again. Why don't you come? Come and join with us. But dear friends, then, this day, make it a new beginning in your own life. Maybe you've been, as it were, getting too comfortable sitting at home. Easy to do it, wasn't it? Sitting there at home, and we are thankful and not taken away from that at all. So, what the Lord has provided this time. But it's not how it should be long term, friends. This is what worshiping truly is all about. If we can. Now, I know, as I said before, I don't need to, and I'm repeating it, but everybody cannot come today. But I am sure those at home today, or how they would love also when the time comes to be here once again, even in our situation at this time. So let us resolve, wherever we are here today, whether in church or in listening in, let us resolve, friends, to worship the Lord, to witness for him, to, as it were, if I can put it this way, to renew our vows to God, to honor him in our lives and how we live, to seek growth in grace, to seek to know more of the Lord in our gatherings, and oh, never to be ashamed to own him or hide our light under a bushel. There is nothing, friends, nothing that compares with the united worship of God. Well, can I say that? I believe I can. Oh, well, we can worship at home on our own and have wonderful felt, yes, indeed. But what is this coming together in the united worship of God but a foretaste of heaven? What's heaven going to be like? Not individuals. It is the family of God gathered together, worshiping, exalting the name of Christ, falling down at his feet, singing his praises. And that is what we have here as a type, if you like, in the Church of Christ here on earth. So, my dear friends, let us be thankful today that we're able to gather once again in worship, in public worship. Public worship that is for God's glory, first of all, for our own spiritual edification and refreshment. And thirdly, and leave with this thought, oh, to be a witness to the world that we live in. So then, may God bless his own word to us. And we now, let us now conclude